What's good, everybody? Ball Don't Lie Australia, episode 70, coming live to you from the studio. I'm your host, Dan Dinellan. Joining me as he does every week, on the other side of the desk, is Mal Crawford.
The big dog. How you doing, buddy?
Mal, I'm pumped, as you are as well, because there's two other people in the studio with us, and their names aren't Timothy and Anthony.
No.
Two new guests, so got a very special episode lined up for everyone out there today. Joining us in studio to discuss all things basketball this week, we have the GM of the Brisbane Capitals, Hamish Kane, and we have Lockie Nuttall working for Basketball Queensland in the media department. Lockie, is that correct?
Yeah, the marketing manager.
Marketing the role. Manager. Things you should ask your guests pre-podcast. There it is on wax. It's all official. But Lockie, how you going over there, mate?
I'm good. Excited to be on the show.
Yeah? Going to chat some NBL 1 North. I mean, you're in charge of these Game of the Weeks. They've all been crackers so far. So we'll get your thoughts on that. And Hamish, the GM.
G'day, fellas. How you doing?
Oh, loving it. Just the one loss this season so far for the team. So sure, we'll have lots of gloating to do later on.
Yeah, travelling pretty good pretty early, but as you guys know, the ladder doesn't mean too much early on in the season, so.
Oh, not where we're at, mate.
I've never heard that said before.
Just have a couple wins for the men and one for the women. You always want to start off right, so yeah.
Perfect. And we'll get more into that later on in the show. For those listeners at home, what we're covering today, the NBL Grand Final Series. We were hoping to break down three games for you all. It's just going to be the one, unfortunately.
Came up a scoot short.
Yeah. We'll then jump over to the NBA playoffs. A couple of eulogies to occur.
Speaking of coming up scoot short.
Yes. Lots of blowouts, some interesting facts and stats coming from these series. Quick little preview for the conference finals as well. We'll have a chat to the boys here a bit about their background, what they do. Talk about the Caps, the season that is in the NBL 1 North, and finally, we'll finish off with a review of round 4, is it, of the NBL 1 North?
We'll be round 4, yes.
Yeah, so, lots to cover. So, let's jump in. The NBL Grand Final, Mal.
Yeah.
It ended in sort of dramatic fashion here with Sydney running out the Jack Jumpers to take home the crown in three straight games. What did you take away from this third and final game?
My big takeaway was Jack Jumpers did not give up until it was over, and not just, you know, over mathematically or realistically. They stuck in this game right until the final hooter, which was really cool to see, because often you'll see teams are right a wave in and then they run out of just juice. And this they didn't. It showed a lot of ticker because they actually fought all the way up until coach yanked the starters, pulled out the bench. And, it was really good to see. Everyone cleared their benches. Everyone got a run. And, you know, unfortunate that it ended in a sweep. But we kind of, you know, realistically, that was always on the cards. No team in the NBL finals has ever gone down 2-0 and come back and won a game 3. They always get swept from there, and that continued again. But, unfortunate to see my tip, the Jack Jumpers, go down. But that's life.
I feel really sorry for you, Mal, on that one. We see here Xavier Cooks.
Sarcasm.
He's taking away the finals MVP here. And just watching this game, I mean, Tassie were daring Cooks to shoot. They were just sitting off him, and he just refused to do so. He ended up with 23 points, 13 boards, 7 assists on 80% from the field. And that was by getting the shots he wanted. He didn't attempt a three, despite being allowed to be able to shoot them all game. So, Lockie, I know you were saying a bit earlier that you were watching these games. What did you take away from Cooks? And maybe if you could talk a bit about Ian Clark as well.
Yep. No, Cooks had obviously an unbelievable season. I think he's probably due to stamp his ticket to an NBA Summer League at some point. But yeah, he had a great season, and obviously he was the one to obviously step up this series. It was a lot of pressure for the Jack Jumpers to face. I think that Sydney roster's pretty well rounded, and it was a bit of a, as much as I'm sure Mal and everyone else wanted Tassie to get one win, I think it was a tough task in that as well. So, and to have a guy like Ian Clark in the team, we saw all the shout outs from the Warriors the week the week of the finals. It's cool to have a guy that's played at that level, won a championship, and bring that pedigree also to the NBL.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool that media attention is kind of just what the NBL needs, right? And it's only going to help the game grow. And speaking of helping the game grow, I mean, these emerging superstars that you probably didn't expect from the start of the season. If I jump back over to Tassie there, maybe Hamish should get your thoughts on this young gentleman, Josh Adams, who's just turned into a bit of a star of the league in the NBL.
Good shooter. Gets open, gets his shots up. So, yeah, there's lots of young talent coming through, and we're even seeing some of it trickle down through back to NBL 1 North in particular. So it's great to see these guys week in, week out, NBL 1, but also transitioning back. Also great to see, I guess, all the ex-Caps players with their Jack Jumpers. We sort of adopted that team around the office.
Besto, Magne, Clint Steindl.
All the guys.
A bunch of them.
My guy, Clint.
So, yeah, we were all wearing green in the office, getting behind them. But, yeah, really sad to... Would have been nice to see them get a win or two, but it's, you know, what they're doing down there, that sort of the small town sort of culture, looking to stick it to the established teams and coming in year one and building throughout the season to finish the way they did, you know, it's incredible. It's literally nothing short of amazing, really.
Yeah, it's great for that team to have achieved that. I mean, if they just bottomed out, lost, you know, if they just won a couple games all season, it'd be hard to get up and get back at it next season. But after such a great run, deep roster, I mean, unsung heroes like Josh Maget, who, you know, no one's going to look at a box score and probably, you know, quote unquote, kids these days aren't going to watch him and love him, but he's a hell of a player, and, you know, he'll have a contract in the NBL as long as he wants it. But this Sydney Kings team, my goodness, they're stacked. Jarrell Martin, NBA talent, Xavier Cooks, future NBA talent, Jalen Adams. Oh, Mel's probably banned me from talking about him on this show because he's just my favorite player ever. I know he sat out the last two games there. Obviously, got the job done without him. But if the Kings can keep this roster together or something similar next year, gee whiz, they're going to be tough to stop again, Mel.
Yeah, they definitely will be. For mine, though, in this game, Clark was the difference maker. I know Cooks, you know, played a good game, but Clark was the one who basically closed this game out for the Kings. Every time the Jack Jumpers were half a sniff, bang, another three. Back up the court, sloppy possession from Tassie, bang, another three. Next thing you know, they're stretched out again. A couple of plays later, Jack Jumpers are getting a sniff, bang. And it was just that right time, right plays, and went from, I think it was 0-5 to 5-10 in those last two quarters, but they were just perfectly timed. And, you know, that got it over the line, but obviously it's been a team effort to have the record they've had throughout the year. And they've come a heck of a long way since that night they played down in Melbourne and got thumped by the biggest margin of all time. I can't remember exactly what the record was, but it was horrendous. It was an all NBL horrible night, and they got a couple of players back, and all of a sudden everything fit together perfectly, and boom, to the promised land.
So I guess all signs now point towards NBL 23. The league is just getting bigger and better every year. We'll throw over to you guys here. One way, we're just going to talk about our home team, the Bullets here. We cover quite closely on the show here. What would be one way you could improve their roster for next year? And your answer cannot include the name Nick Stoddart.
Damn it. Okay. Stoddy is my guy.
Because we cover that.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they've got a really good opportunity this next season. There's a lot of guys that are off contract. We know that Sobey obviously re-signed. I think it would help And maybe potentially that there was a gap at the five spot. So even if they looked at an import or something like that to go into the five, play the center, I think that's a really valuable spot, particularly in the NBL, to have someone who's long, athletic, can run with guys that are at Melbourne and Sydney, and compete with them on a night in, night out basis. So I think, yeah, if they looked at potentially an import at the five spot, and keeping around some of that local talent as well.
Yeah, it's also for mine, it's sort of just seeing what the new ownership group is going to come up with. So I think they take full ownership 1 July. So they're going to be a little bit behind sort of free agency, which, you know, is opening pretty soon. So, you know, I kind of think maybe they'll be on the back foot there looking at the, you know, the sort of the blue chip athlete types that they're wanting to attract. But hopefully they empower Sammy Mack, you know, as GM to go out and get the guys that he wants, to build the team that he wants, and hopefully we'll, you know, as you know, staunch Bullets fans, see those results on court. You know, it's great to see that stadium, the support from, you know, people across Brisbane. But yeah, we're all desperate for more wins.
Back the Mac.
Yep.
That's back the Mac.
Yeah, and we talk about running with these bigs in Melbourne and Sydney, and there's the rumour of a certain big guy in Melbourne who is a friend of the show who may be interested in coming up north, if you ask Andrew Gaze. And we'll have to wait and see.
Rumour 412 for the season of Brisbane's.
We'll have to wait and see. We saw him a little bit in NBL 1 North last year. Might see him again this year. We don't know. But, God, I'd love to see that person in a Bullets uniform. But we'll see what happens. Let's keep it moving. We'll jump across the big ditch, Mel.
The Bug Dutch.
Yeah. Ooh.
New Zealand? So, yeah, New Zealand nice. NBL. I think we're into week two. We've seen the Sharks light things up, go in Invercargill.
Keep going.
Yeah, right. Harvey King, actually, he had a huge first week for them. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, a product of Queensland really shine over there and get his chance. So, and also the new Tuatara outfit in Auckland. So,
ooh,
you know, coming in, replacing the Huskies and sitting top of the table. So recruited really well, got a great big man there. So, you know, it's exciting to see that league really, you know, elevate and sort of not take a backward step when it comes to what's happening over here. So I think it would be easy for them to get lost in what's happening with NBL 1 across the country here. But yeah, they've really found a footing there. But I'm assuming you guys might be wanting to talk about NBA.
The New Zealand NBL's had some talent there. Like, I remember...
I want to get Lockie's thoughts on the New Zealand NBL, to be honest.
Look, I was thinking this might be a new segment. You get Hamish in as the correspondent for New Zealand. And
Hey, Isaiah Moss tore that league up before he came over to the Bullets.
Yeah, Otago. So he was really great there. And I guess for the Bullets fans listening in, unfortunately, Hawke's Bay... they had a loss with Jack Sold out, so he's unfortunately going to be out for some time, and they're looking to bring in a replacement. So, you know, he's a bit of a fan favorite here, and I know the guys around the Bullets love him. So to see him go down with, you know, the injuries he's had is pretty disappointing for him. But the quality of bloke he is, I'm sure he's going to be back better, get his body right, and yeah, hopefully we see him back on the hard court soon.
That is what we want to hear, but you are also correct. We are jumping over the big, big ditch.
Big ditch.
We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll just bring up these, what do we call it? The conference semifinals, I believe it is. Round two of the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. So we'll just discuss each round very briefly. Memphis extremely briefly, and we'll see how we go with this.
Like the rest of the season.
We'll address the elephant in the room. Pretty outrageous game seven that we saw occur in the Suns and the Mavs.
Pretty outrageous first half, let alone the rest.
Oh, and gee whiz, like if you were not a Luka Doncic believer, you better be now, because that kid is something else.
He scored the same and a half as the Suns.
Yes, and...
And he knew it in the interview after.
Wasn't it just amazing, like, he's that guy that is going to talk trash. And he did all series. He was in Booker's ear. Book was giving it back to him just as much, mind you. And Luke is there for it. I mean, he like there is no questioning that he has got it. And he I feel like it kind of reminded me, I was watching this game 7, and when I used to play 2K when I was a bit younger, it was always that little bit of a fight of
you used to play 2K.
It's my turn to be the home team. I want to be the home team. And I think Luke is the opposite. I think he'd be like, no, I want to play on the road. Like, oh, I'm going to beat you in your stadium. And I think he just froths playing on the road. And here again, 35-10 with his eyes shut, didn't have to play half the game. And obviously the biggest story is the Suns' failings. So, Lockie, as a fan of a Western Conference team that we won't name unless you want to, what did you take away from the Suns here and their inability to show up for this Game 7?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been kind of their second year where they've been in the conversation to go to the Western Conference Finals and potentially make the leap to a final series. I kind of believed in CP3 and Devin Booker being able to achieve that. So yeah, obviously a bit disappointing. Monty Williams, coach of the year as well. So I guess we kind of expected them, given the seasons they've had the last 2 years, to be able to take a team like Dallas. But as you said, like, I think Luka is an amazing player. I think he took it really personally. Obviously, he would have seen the stuff that was joked about on social media and things like that, and even the tussle over the ball in, I think, was it game 5 or 4? Where they were tussling over the ball. A lot of those things he takes personally, and I think a lot of that comes from also his experience playing with men at such a young age. So, I mean, it's a credit to them. It'll be awesome to see them versus the Warriors. But, yeah, I mean, big letdown for Phoenix.
Yeah, Lil Wayne. Ooh, got on the wrong side of that one, didn't he?
Cuban gave it to him as well.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for the Suns, and they're not really in a position to blow it up. I mean, it's as luck would have it, the minute Chris Paul turned 37 the other week, he just hasn't been able to play basketball since. So,
but will they re-sign Aiden, or are they going to just wait and see?
Well, he's a restricted free agent.
But so there's chat that maybe they'll look to, you know, if they are going to look to make a move, he's probably the one guy they can move and get something back. So, you know, like when you look at a team in their window, they're not getting, you know, younger. Like CP3 is not getting younger. Booker hopefully will continue to improve, but to make a big jump, if you move him out and you can get 2 or 3 pieces back, do you do that? There's obviously something there in the background happening, but you know, most teams would just jump at the chance to give him the max, lock him away, and you can deal with that down the track. Like, why save pennies on the dollar to send him to restricted free agency for him to get an offer for you to match it to save a couple million, particularly when you're a billionaire? Like, it just doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, if you wanted him there, he'd be there.
Yeah, correct.
You have to think.
It's the salary cap's such a tough thing. I mean, you need players like Ayton on that team for that nightly grind for 82 games. That I'm going to go bang with Embiid or Jokic or just be a brick wall to try and slow Giannis down. However, then come the playoffs and everyone's just playing their smalls out there. And just like we saw in Game 7, Ayton got played off the court. Reports coming out that he refused to re-enter the game even. So, you know,
what did Monty say? It was an internal issue.
Yeah, so
when asked, and there was no room for a follow-up in his face in his reply on that one.
No, and that's where these teams will play chess in free agency is, well, being a restricted free agent, give him the max, offer it to him. Phoenix have to match it. And if they do, cool, they're hamstrung. That's it. That's their roster. So if not, oh, well, you've got a potential all-star center coming your way on a max deal. And I mean, we're not talking, you know, current contenders, really. You're going to be looking at teams like Charlotte, or heard a good one today, San Antonio might be a look for him. So they're the sort of teams that might be offering that contract, and they're either going to pick up a really good big that they need, or they're going to hamstring Phoenix's salary cap. So if I'm Phoenix, I put the check across the table and say sign it, because JaVale McGee's not going to win you a championship. I'm sorry, but that's my opinion.
Come on. No? No?
Nah. But all right.
His mum was a winner.
The one we've all been waiting for, well, 3 of the 4 people in the room. Memphis and Golden State.
How'd that go?
I was riding high after game five, the young Cubs, no Ja Morant, absolutely laid waste to that team of Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh, well, cool. If nothing else, we've done that. And
that would have lasted you for ages, nothing else. That feeling.
Look, for three quarters of game six there, I thought, well, geez, we're on here. Like the boys played well. They played tough. They were just swarming Steph. If you eye test, box score test, whatever you want, Steph had a bad game. And the Grizz made everyone else beat them. And Mr. Robot himself, Klay Thompson, did exactly that. But I'll throw over to you boys in a minute. I just feel like Golden State, if they want to put up a fight in this finals and not watch Luka carry a team to the finals, they've got a lot of things to fix because Memphis missed a lot of open shots because they can't shoot. They missed a lot. And Dallas have just shown they are not going to do that. So we might start with Hamish first since we've been going to Lockie first all the time here.
Mate, he's been carrying me for a reason. But shoot, what we got?
What are some things you want to see from Golden State now as they are coming up against this Dallas Mavericks team with Luka?
Well, I'm more wanting to see Dallas progress. So I guess what I want to see from Dallas, just to flip that, is just don't even bother about Draymond Green. Let him do whatever it is he wants to do. Let him chip away. Maybe try to agitate him. Let him pick up those ticks. Get him tossed. But
can't get into his head, mate. It's a lock.
Yeah. But I think they've just got to. They're shooting everywhere for Golden State. So they've just got to. They've just got to focus on like closing out. Like just if once any one of those three shooters gets going, it's all over. And like Klay's obviously testament to that and what he did. He proves it time and time again. And he's peaking at the right time. So. You know, if they can just, move more bodies on the shooters, not worry so much about Draymond. Look, if he wants to make threes or wants to shoot threes and get a couple, great. But, Draymond's not, hopefully, he's not going to be the reason why you lose. And I don't think really anybody wants to see Golden State get through. Seeing a lot of modding here. Really?
I might.
Steph Curry?
Yeah, I'm going to bite back as well, but I'll let Lockie go first.
Yeah, obviously, I'm a big fan of storylines in the league and stuff like that, and obviously the Warriors are getting to that point where the window's kind of closing with their time with Steph Curry and things like that. He's creeping towards the back half of his career. So I don't mind the storyline of them being able to do it again without KD. Being able to get into a final series and take on a team like Boston or someone like that and claim their championship and obviously solidify their spot as his spot as a Hall of Famer, but their spot as a team, to see where they've come from and the way they've drafted that team, I think they've done it all the right way. So I'm on board with the Warriors for this one.
Yeah, and just to bounce off that, pretty much the same for me. Like people are like, oh, you must hate the Warriors and, they've knocked your team out, blah, blah, blah. And I'm exact same. Like they built this team organically. They created their own style of play that changed the game for better or worse, depending who you ask. And the whole KD saga was rubbish, and I lost a lot of respect for them during that time. But it is a joy to watch this team play when they're playing well and enjoying their basketball. So, look, once the salt has gone away a little bit, I'll be cheering them on. I'm not a big fan of Luka myself. Not a fan of his play style. I think he's an absolutely great player, just like James Harden a couple of years ago, but that's who I'd kind of liken him to. And, I get a bit bored watching free throws and whinging, but hell of a player, Luka. Hell of a player. But I'll go for Golden State there, Mal. What do you reckon?
I actually don't really have much skin in this game either way. I'm not wildly pro Luka. I'm not. I'm a little bit like Lockie. I like the storyline. This is probably their third or last dance. Third to last dance, realistically. But let's be honest, they're a lot closer to the end than they are to the start. But, older guys, we're older guys. Like, there's that little bit of...
Speak for yourself, mate.
Calm down, Tiger. There's that little bit of... Geez, do you reckon they still can? And game breaks the right way, Yeah, I think they still can. But like I said, I don't necessarily have any skin in this game. All my skin's in the other conference this time around. So
we're slowly getting there, mate.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, too, if I had to pick a team who I think's going to go through, I think Mavs are going to go through in this one.
All right, there it is. On wax. All right. Well, let's head over to the East. We won't spend a lot of time on this one because I just don't think 76ers deserve a lot of airtime at the moment. But, you know, they showed a bit of fight once Embiid came back and we had all the quotes of, you know, he wasn't great but made the team great, et cetera, et cetera. Harden, just he had his one game of being nearly himself. Other than that, no show. What I want to discuss about the 76ers is James Harden next year. He has a $47 million player option. Does he opt in and say, all right, well, let's run this back? Or, you know, does 4 years, $160 million look a bit nicer to 1 year, $47 million? And, you know, do the Sixers look for a sign and trade? I mean, they've just kind of killed themselves here in the Tobias Harris contract kind of did that to him as well. So, I mean, where
Tobias Harris over me?
I guess my question here, Lockie, might be, where does Philly go from here?
Well, it's tough. Like at the start of the season, with a few of the rule changes, everyone said guys like Harden, guys like Lillard, Doncic would take a while to adjust to some of the changes. And it appears most of the other guys did except for him, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky situation, and Harden's one of those guys. You've obviously look at his track record. He's been a great player in the league, but this year it's really made you question it. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what Philly do and what he do with that.
Well, I think it also comes down to what Daryl does, right? Is whatever his role is there now. Like one thing we know is that he loves Harden. Like he fought to get him there. He held out to get him there. He's going to want him there going forward. So I think. Like that's a real interesting one. You've got a guy who loves his player. He loves the analytics around the player, but the game has changed for him. You know, because of those rule changes and age. So, you know, does Daryl stay true to his analytical views, and does he you know pull the trigger on something that is probably pretty tough to him personally? But you know, when you look at Philly, you know they've got to do something. Like this is. You know, this has gone on so long. I think Harden and Embiid are probably the last two on that team from the process days. So they need to do something. And you know, like I feel for those Philly fans. Like there's a couple of those Philly podcasts, and like, man, it's a tough listen.
And you can't rely on Embiid to be healthy for a full season next year.
Nah.
You know, you need that other guy that's going to be able to drop a 30-point game and have an impact.
Captain Chalkbones is what I've been calling him.
Well, this was that season. He was like, and it's just the process is done. Like there is no more trust the process. The process was finished a year or two ago, and this was the end product. And if you're just talking second round exit every year, well, was 5 years of losing on purpose really worth it? Because gee whiz, same as whoever said it before, I feel for Philly fans because they went through absolute tough times thinking, all right, well, we're contending for chips in a few years, and they're not close. They're not even close. So wholesale changes need to be made there.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing is, like, you know, Sam Hinkie got, you know, he basically got chopped off at the knees and he got moved on, and they bring in Colangelo and he does what he does, and, you know, it's a bit of a bonfire. But, you know, down at... you know, across at the Thunder, we're seeing Presti do the exact same thing. And, you know, like it would actually be cool to see what would it actually look like if the GM gets to run the course on this thing. So, you know, is he going to have the ability?
Says the GM of the group.
Yeah, there is, the GMs in that situation.
But that's the thing that I'm really keen to see. Like what are all these picks actually going to turn into? You know, because some of the draft classes that they had Philly, and like some of their picks, there's just like there'd be some of the worst draft classes year on year, and they had like these top picks. So it's, you know, as much as you can plan, there's got to be a bit of that dumb luck in there. And you know, you pray for that generational talent like a Luka. So, yeah, hindsight.
Yeah, hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Got to love it. All right, Mal, the one you've been waiting for, the Celtics and the Bucks. Before we hear how good the Celtics are, I just want to give flowers to the man on the other side, the Greek freak, Giannis. In my opinion, nothing else he could have done. This closeout game.
Couldn't have taken any more steps in a layup. That's for sure.
Well, took a lot of heat off those Ja Morant carries, didn't it? wait, Giannis can take 8 steps. So, all right, Ja, you do you. But look, in this closeout game, he almost had a triple-double in the first quarter. Did end up with 25, 20, and 9. And across the series, he's the first player in NBA history with 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists in a single series. So, Giannis deserves very, very minimal blame for this. However, in saying that, you know, 3-2 lead, heading back home for game 6, just like the Suns. Sorry, well, the Suns weren't heading home, but 3-2 lead heading into game 6. All the Bucks had to do was close it out at home. Couldn't get the job done. Have at it with the rest of the team and tell us how good the Celtics are, Mel.
Well, obviously the Celtics are amazing, mate. You know,
this is Grant Williams, guys. Just like Clay Thompson 2.0 now.
Well, you know, and it came out, was it halfway through this series, that Al Horford, if they make the finals and win the finals, he'll almost double his contract in money or something ridiculous.
And I assume he's had more random drug tests the past 2 weeks than his whole career. He is amazing.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, look, they are great. They're great because they play as a team. And even in that game 5, you know, when a certain defensive player of the year probably should have looked up a scooch and let go to a wide open Tatum, you know. But they were in that game. It was right there. And then they came back and closed out the other two, and it wasn't close towards the end, like realistically. And they did that by playing team ball, stretching the floor on offense, and playing really solid team D. Classic, old-school-ish sort of basketball. You know, there's still a place for it. And this will now be the 37th time the Celtics have gone to the conference final, which now means they've been to half.
That's a couple. Wasn't the last time was against the Heat as well, though, wasn't it?
It was, unfortunately, and that didn't go so well. So
is that the Bam Adebayo block on Tatum at the hoop?
Might have been.
I'm genuinely trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was.
Depending who you talk to.
That was the bubble, right?
That was the bubble. Yeah, so depending on who you talk to, that entire season has an asterisk and doesn't count. So,
oh, the man last week did not want to hear anything about asterisks. Here we go.
No, of course, that one counts. And that one stung, you know. But, look, throughout the year, we've played the Heat twice. Most recently, we lost to them. But out of the 3 games we played in the regular season, where Celtics won 2. It's going to be a bump and grind thing moving forward, but, you know, they got past the Bucks in a little bit of an old-fashioned, not flashy necessarily, you know, team, defensive, spread the floor, spread the ball, open man, basketball, which, so good to see again. So good to see.
Yeah, and look, I'll throw over to you boys on the couch there just to talk about the young rising or risen superstar, my Dookie, and player I would have followed if he went to any other of the 29 NBA teams, Mr. Jason Tatum.
So you're a sellout, that's what you're saying.
100%. Everyone knows my guy's Kobe, so you won't see me in a Celtic green ever. But Jason Tatum, potential face of the league or up around that sort of mark. You guys want to talk a bit about what you see in him and his play in these playoffs so far?
For me, it's the same thing as what I was saying about the Warriors. It's a storyline, you know. Obviously, Celtics have had the young core that they were talking about when they first got him around for a while. Jason Tatum's obviously rise to the top, and he's done that. And I think, yeah, once again, if we're looking at storylines, it'd be a hell of a story to see them go to a final series, take out a team like the Warriors and get a championship now. Because, he's been amazing this season and in previous seasons, but this is probably the first year we've seen him consistently provide and be that guy every single week for the Celtics. So, yeah, I'm on board with the Celtics for this one. I'm hoping it's a six-game series. So then it's somewhat interesting, but, yeah, I'm hoping Celtics can drive it home.
Yeah, I think love Jimmy Butler. He's my guy, big Bulls fan. So, you know, I'm going to love to see his toughness, but I think, yeah, Celtics, they're just going to be too good. Like, just across the court, they're just too good. You've got young guys who are stepping up. This is going to be Tatum's coming out party. So,
you know. They have a capital style of play, I think. Play as a team. No real superstars. Mm. You just come out there and play hard, play some good defense, and go out and compete every single game.
Hamish, you didn't want to talk about Brad Stevens stepping into that?
The GM, what a great job he's done.
Well, look, he's really put a – he's got a great coach in there who's, you know, really delivering his style of play. But, yeah, I won't bore you guys with much chat. So, yeah.
No, and look, Lockie, a few times you've mentioned storylines on the pod tonight, and none might be bigger than this. I mean, at New Year's, this team was a joke. The Celtics were an absolute joke, and I was loving every bit of it on this podcast.
He's up, sport. He might be a bit heavy there on the –
Oh, no, I'm on wax. I was ripping on them almost weekly because they were in that play-in tournament conversation. They were struggling, and they've just gone on a tear. And look, if I was going to gamble responsibly tomorrow, I'm putting my money on them to win the whole thing right now because they've just turned into that team, and they have it. Like, they've had one, maybe two off games each series, but the other games, they've just been electrifying. And Jason Tatum, he's that dude. Like, he really is. And Jimmy's got it, but we'll have to wait and see because I assume he's going to match up with Tatum. And, like, the way I see these conference finals is in the West, you're going to have this Wild West shootout, essentially. And in the East, that it's going to be a mud fight. It's going to be a war.
It's going to be great.
You know, you could potentially see seven-game series either side with completely different play styles, and then it's all going to come together in this NBA Finals and two different styles of play coming up against each other. So I'm pretty pumped. But I guess while we've got everyone in studio, if we could all pick one team to win the whole thing, Mal, you're obviously going to go Celtics, I assume.
You never know. I might. No, it's going to be Celtics.
Yeah, look, I just said right now I'd pick Celtics, so I'll stick with that. Lockie?
I'm going the storyline. I'm going Warriors. Warriors to get one more.
All right. And GM?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, Jimmy, my boy, I don't have teams in it. I've got players in it.
Yeah, sorry, mate. The Bulls aren't in it.
They're not playing.
But, I think look, across the board, Celtics probably going to be too good. Lockie, have you got that Steph Curry singlet on underneath that top, mate?
Man, this is coming from a Portland Trailblazer fan, right? I've been eliminated multiple times by these guys.
Sad, sad day.
Yeah.
That pretty much sums up the Portland Trailblazers there, right there.
Look, I'm with you, Lockie. If I was picking a West team, it would be Golden State. So I'm just going to love these conference finals. I think we're in for some wild, wild basketball. So we'll be back next week, of course, though, Mal, to check in on the first few games. Before we head into the NBA 1 North round that was, whilst we've got the fellas in the studio here, we thought we might just ask a few hard-hitting questions. Mal, what do you reckon?
It's good. Love hard-hitting questions.
Yeah.
When they're not pointed in my direction.
Well, first of all, of course, coming from the Brisbane Capitals, I mean, Lockie recently departed, but big part of
still
where
alive,
they are today.
Mate. And still alive.
Not departed Earth.
I am
mate.
Still here.
Yeah, or the lounge. He's still here. But, you know, I was personally around just over 10 years ago when this happened before. It's just happened again recently. We wanted to bring up the floods. Of course, you know, it's had a huge impact on the club, the stadium. Seen, you know, updates from mainly you two and Hamish, especially most days during the cleanups there. We'll go Hamish first. Can you talk a bit about what that was like facing the floods and the cleanup process, and maybe some big shout outs to those who were heavily involved in the cleanup there.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the shout outs because, you know, the journey we've taken as a result of it, you know, just simply couldn't have happened. So it was really like all the staff, Lockie as well in particular, did a great job getting all our volunteers sort of activated and down there. So we had, you know, all sorts of people. So we had Lillian Mansbridge, who's, you know, she's refereeing, she runs the midweek, the women's basketball competition with, you know, Trish Hayes, board member, you know, does a lot of score table. We had, you know, a guy, Ryan Stolberg, who I'm sure you've probably come across in the past at X-Bullet. Mm-hmm. You know, he spent probably 4 days on a gurney, like nonstop on a gurney, and he just rocked up. You know, me and him would catch up probably an hour before everybody else, and, you know, with his background, we'd sort of say, well, you know, like, what are we doing today? And he'd just be like, we need to do this, this, and this. So, you know, he was really, really, really great to have. Then I guess shout out some of the players. We had Ant was there fairly regularly. Anna Cameron, she was obviously down. Ben Volkman, Ben Wilson, Sungi, Pepper Costa. So, you know, like all of our players, you know, that they're all taking time out to come down, you know, and literally get stuck in and rip down drywall and you know, and just, you know, get in, take, you know, we probably took 100 cartons of drink out. We had to completely gut the canteen. There's oil all through the place. So it's, just that community engagement. It really makes you feel lucky to work for an organization like Brisbane Capitals and Brisbane Basketball. And then also there's guys like, you know, Neil Hamilton Smith. So, you know, he's been around the game forever. He's one of our life members. His wife Pam's one of our life members. He's down there. He's letting me know what he did in 1974 in the first cleanup. You know, I've got Trevor on the phone. You know, Peter Farlow, another absolute legend of Capitals basketball. So, and then I guess probably one of the biggest shout outs we've really got to give out to the Brisbane Bullets. So, you know, a few weeks ago, we were looking like we weren't going to have a home court to play on. Lockie and I were in a meeting and we sort of banged our heads together and sort of got the idea of a drop-in court. And, okay, who's got a drop-in court? I reach out to the Bullets. They've got one that's been sitting in a container for 3 years. So we venture out there not knowing what we're going to find. And then, yeah, so we get that delivered, bring it in. It was literally the toughest job. Putting that court together, you know, Lockie had left us at that stage. He took time off. I think it was public holiday, came in with a couple of mates to help out. So it's, you know, it's the community. Everyone would chip in as much or as little as they could. But everybody was taking the time, and to just be inundated with, you know, phone calls, text messages, emails of people wanting to help was, you know, it's quite a humbling experience. But I guess to go back to that sort of weekend, you know, I was at the Stoddy, I think was the last person to shoot on the court. It was a Saturday. He was in there getting some shots up at about 4, and then we sort of locked up and go home. And then I think 9 o'clock that night, saw the tweet from Adrian Schrinner saying, you know, brace yourselves, the flood's coming. So absolutely no sleep that night. Drive, try to get in there, My missus is a nurse. So I have my two boys. And we sort of got halfway there and little Hudson's like, hey, Dad, look, that bus is underwater. So decide maybe going home is better. But eventually when we got back there, there's probably about a centimetre of water over the courts. So then, yeah, fortunately, we've got some really great Sparkies, Electrac Energy. So if you're looking for a Sparky, please look them up. Tony and Steve will look after you. They came out, isolated all the power, and then over the course of the next couple of days, I think you came in as well, Lockie, and, you know, the water was probably, it would have been a meter and a half on the main court. So it was, yeah, it was pretty devastating. What did you sort of think when you walked in, Lockie? What was the first sort of feelings, I guess?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty surreal, obviously. Being at the venue, there's the mark of where it was in 74 and then in 2011. And, yeah, to walk into the stadium and see the water that high, see everything floating around on the courts was pretty insane. And like me and Hamish would talk about to sponsors about the history of the stadium and like what it's been through and stuff like that. But for us to actually see it in person was crazy. But yeah, I mean, our community is one of a kind, and to have the people that came down and supported us to get it back to where it is now is pretty impressive.
Awesome. Well, that's now part of Caps history. So let's move on to Caps future. Can we talk a bit, Hamish, about some of the new signings that we've got in the NBL One space? Because we've signed a couple this year.
Yeah, so we're probably in the mins. We've got a couple guys who have come up from QSL. So I always like to start with our own guys who have come through. So, you know, we've got Aaron Singh, who was captain of QSL last year, won a title with Bruce and the guys. And then we've got Stefanato, one of, you know, a fan favorite of the podcast here, being a Dragons boy as well.
Yeah, shout out.
Dragon.
To see those two guys, you know, stick with us and progress through, that's always really special. Probably we've got a really young talent who's unfortunately only going to be with us for a short time before he heads over to Hawaii. So we've got Harry Ruladef. So, you know, he's not a kid. Yeah, the man, he's exciting. Like, he's, you know, his first game versus Northside, he looked like he belonged on the court. He was great. He was awesome. Then we've got big Tim Bior. So we brought him in. He's a competitor. Loves to ball, loves to bang bodies. I think Volkman's happy to have him alongside him.
Needed the help.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so he's another great addition. And then obviously I think who's going to be a bit of a fan favourite, he's going to rival Lockie's boy Stoddy for fan favourite come the end of the season, is Lockie Dent. So, you know, exciting talent coming down from Illawarra. He's come down housemates with Isaac White, friend of the show. So, to have him involved with the organization, we're extremely lucky. He's, you know, he's a gym rat. He's in the gym every day. He's getting the guys around him. So he's brought in, you know, so Stoddy, Ben himself, Isaac was in there, and the ladies side, Abby Cabillo, was in as well. So he's bringing that toughness. He's going to be a leader for the team. And then I guess, he did have one or two games. So we've also got Max back. So for the full, looks like the full season. Mm-hmm. So not exactly a new recruit, but he's a guy that we're super pumped to have suiting up for us. So, you know, he's really developed over the last sort of 6 months with the Bullets being a DP there. So the men's whole roster is really, you know, we're team first organization. We're values based. These are guys who fit with us. They understand what we're about, and I think probably most importantly, they play for each other. So that's a really special thing to have. We also take, you know, a lot of pride in our people and the juniors that have come through, and the guys who have played 100 games for us. You know, like your Ants. You know, we were pretty sad to see Zach depart. Zach Carter, obviously fan favorite, ticked up 100 games I think last year for us. But again, to see, you know, for us to thank a guy like that for his service and, you know, the 100+ games, the sacrifices he's made for us, you know, we wish him all the best. And we're seeing, you know, he's in the first few rounds for Pirates, he's really performing. So, you know, we love to see that. Hopefully he doesn't bring that when we play him, but we love to see him performing as well. I guess in the girls and the women's side, we've got a whole stack of new girls. So we lost a few. We obviously lost Audrey to college, so but we replaced her with a taller fuller. So we've got Hillary there. So, and I know you guys would have seen her debut down at Wizards.
Amazing.
So, like, she's, you know,
potential plus.
Yeah. Unbelievable talent. So I think she's going to play more and more as the season progresses, as she gets more and more confident, and as she, you know, starts to truly believe that she belongs.
She's already got a big fan in Abby Cabillo, which is nice to see.
So. Yeah, and that's probably the other. We've obviously got Bronte and Abby, both from Canberra. So again, it's having
having the, you know, the true professional athletes who are living it day in, day out, you know, what they're going to bring to this really young group is just that professionalism, expectations, and just that understanding of what's required to perform at this level. So we do have, you know, a couple of juniors who have stepped up in addition to Hillary. So we've obviously got Lil Schmidt. So she's Falcons junior. So to see her progress through is, you know, that's something really special. And then Claire Fraser, who moved down here from Mackay for schooling. So, you know, these young women, they all, you know, at a young age, they're already giving back to the association as well. You know, they're helping out with mini hoops. They're in and around the stadium. And that's, you know, that's part of the culture piece that we talked about. We want obviously great players, but we want great people who understand that it's a privilege to set foot on court. Yeah, so we've also, and I'm missing a couple, we've got two Victorians, so we've got a couple of transplants who have come up, and then we've also got Cass. So Cass has come up from Gold Coast, and then we've got a stack of two-way players. So we've got a whole bunch of our juniors who are going to bounce between the two teams. So, you know, for us in the women's program, there's obviously been that turnover, but we're looking to bring in some really good sort of systems and processes to really make sure we're developing and retaining our own, and then creating that transition through from 18s to QSL1 through to NBL1. So, you know, we've seen Dean, he's actually moved sort of a bit of a dual role. So he's head coach of the QSL women now and still assisting with the NBL1. So it gives that nice, that connection between those two teams. And that's, you know, as I said, we pride ourselves on the juniors coming through and creating that continuity across the program. So that's something in the women's we're definitely trying to replicate from what we've had in the men's, which has sort of been implemented if you go back to Jeff and McTarrant. So, you know, the long-term success of the program, you know, has a lot to do with what they were managed to do when they came in and really built that foundation. So yeah, it's a rich history. We want to keep building on it. We want to keep stacking up those wins, and you know, we want to see our people being successful, be it on the court and off the court. So yeah, hopefully we can, through our journey this season, hopefully we can lay some really good foundations and be in the race come end of the season to get the silverware. Yeah.
Well, so far both teams are above 500. So 500 or above anyway.
All right. Well, just moving on from there, we'll quickly chat about the women's team. And Lockie, I'm sure you've been keeping up with the games. You're forever a cap now. We won't worry about that club you both came from. Yep. So women kick things off there at South Pine against the Wizards. Went down to, you know, a stacked Wizards backcourt, I would say. Probably the only other backcourt that would, I don't know, be up there with Townsville, I would say. Two of the most devastating duos in the league. So with the Wizards, of course, Shyla and Tiana I'm talking about. The Caps girls, they fought hard. They got back in the game and, you know, a few other things go their way. They might have snatched that win there. Couldn't quite get the job done. They marched on out west to Ipswich and picked up their first win of the season out there. So, I'm sure you've been keeping up with them. What have you seen from the girls so far in what Hamish was saying, you know, completely different roster to last year, really?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's good also to have Steph Collins back. I think it's to have someone of, like, obviously her stature down low always helps. But yeah, like you said, on that first game, it's a tough ask to get a new group to go out and guard two guards that are Australian guards, really. Mm. Abby Cabillo and Bronte obviously go night in, night out with people like that. But to have some of the younger girls from our 18s crop and from QSL, yeah, it would have been a bit daunting. So it was impressive the fact that I walked into the game and they were down 20, mm-hmm. and by the fourth quarter they brought it back to within 2 points, you know. So it says a lot about the group that they weren't willing to just fold and go down and take their medicine that game. And then obviously, Yeah, with a bit of boot brilliance from Cabillo in the game against Ipswich, they managed to secure it pretty well. So,
cool. And just quickly on that, before we talk about the men, I'll jump over to Hamish here for this one. We briefly mentioned younger but taller Fuller just before, who had a really, really great game, was a massive part of that comeback against the Wizards as well. What are we expecting to see from her game this season? And, you know, we're not going to fall into the trap of always comparing sisters or anything like that, but what does Hillary bring to the team in her style of play?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to compare because they are, like, the two that I know, I've never actually seen Adelaide play. She's sort of before my time, so it's hard to compare it to the Flash or the Blur or, you know.
The human blur.
But I think...
Patent pending.
Yeah. But I think with her, it's just around that confidence. I think for any junior just making that leap, it's, you know, it's seeing the size of the players. Like, imagine coming up against a Michaela Roof for the first time. Or you know, just standing next to Steph Collins and looking up and she's... So I think it's really that. I think it's the confidence. You can see... I feel like I can see in her a lot that Audrey has around the competitive nature. Like she wants to get out. She wants to compete. She doesn't like losing. So that's, you know, we love athletes who are going to compete on every play. And I think she will get better as she goes. She's had a brilliant start, so she's just got to build on it. So we're really excited to have her. I think she'll probably have a little bit of disappointment. She missed out on the Australian side there, the underage team. So, you know, she was good enough to make the training camp. But, you know, I think this weekend when we're up against Mackay, she's going to be gunning for some of those other athletes who got picked ahead of her. So, you know, I'd be expecting her to come out with a bit of a grudge. Yeah.
And another certain ex-cap that will be lining up for that team as well.
Grace George. So, you know, and she's been really good. She's been really good up there. I think the change of scenery has been exactly what she needs. You know, she's a loss for us. She's another big body. She's a competitor. But whilst she's up there, you know, we had another loss this season in Maddie Woodford. So, you know, like breaking news, you know, we've managed to convince...
Sound those alerts off now.
We've managed.
You got that? What have I got?
Ooh.
A scary take coming on in.
Scary take. So, yeah, we've got the breaking news. So, X Capitals, great. 100-plus games for the Lady Capitals. Maddie Woodford has agreed to terms. So, yeah, we're excited to be bringing her back. So, huge.
You don't need fake claps. I was doing that.
He was really bad.
I'm pumped. Welcome back, Maddie.
And she's got her timing right. So obviously we're up north. So Mackay, Rocky. So she's picked her timing right for the northern road trip. But you know, when you do look back at that home opener versus Wizards, you know, we missed that second guard. We missed her defensive tenacity. So you know, I always think the memory that stands out to me with Maddie is actually going back to that Wizards game last year. So it was the Alan Woodford Memorial Cup. So if the girls get the win, then that's locked up. It's coming home with us. And, you know, in dying minutes, it's pretty close. She gets the steal off Tiana, goes down, lays it in, essentially winning the game. So, you know, she's another player that, you know, she's been around, she understands who we are, she's a competitor, she's going to hold people accountable. So, you know, we're really lucky to have her back as well. So, you know, if you're listening, Maddie, and I'm sure you are, you know, thank you. And the boys being Dragons fans, they're up and about.
League on notice.
There it is.
Plus, when you mix in Anna Cameron coming back as well, had a couple of good games already. And
yeah, we love the Kiwis. I mean, she ended up being our MVP last year. So
anyone who is 6 foot and can get 17 rebounds or 18 rebounds, whatever she got in that game, that is impressive.
Yeah.
More than Ant in three games, I've heard.
Well, we don't make those comparisons here. We don't make those comparisons.
No, not at all.
All right. So the men's team has won both their games, taking down the Wizards and then the Switch. With many players returning last year, we already talked about it a little bit, but how would you describe their style of play? Lockie and their culture? You know, you've been close enough to it.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah, it's obviously, I mean, last year they were dubbed the best core in Queensland, you know. They're a group of guys who have played together. They've won together. It's no surprise. I guess they came out and won these first two games. This weekend might be a real challenge for them. And but yeah, no, I think the guys like Willow, guys like Tim, guys like Ant returning, having Stoddy around. Stoddy is hands down, and Hamish knows this, my absolute favorite player in the NBL One, not just the Capitals, in the NBL One. He is.
It has been mentioned a few times already. Yes,
He needs to be on an NBL roster somewhere. He needs to get a DP spot or something, but. To have guys like that and obviously throw in, I think it was awesome to get a guy like Lockie Dent who can run the show, you know, take the ball out of Stoddy's hand, let him play the two, let Dent run the show, let him pick the pocket of the opposition's guards and see what we can do. And obviously picking up a 10 Bior, some scoring in there as well, and some of the young guys around there as well. It's a really exciting team, I think.
And it's, of course, it's got to be the culture setters, like our guy Ant. And like our guy Timmy, I mean, they got the dumbbell award at the awards night last.
Yep.
The acceleration, you know, the gym rats. And it's guys like them, especially someone like Ant, who has just been not just at the Caps, but on this, you know, this level for the Caps for so long, that can, you know, help these younger guys come through as well. You mentioned the QSL one guys coming through and, you know, I don't need to mention it, but there is Dragons linked all through there. So, I mean, you know, it's good pedigree coming through, of course, which we're all excited for.
And one of the other things is, like, these guys, a lot of these guys around our team are Capitals juniors as well. Mm. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, we have a really impressive NBL One team, but how many of these guys have an attachment to Auckland Flower Stadium, have an attachment to the Capitals, and have take honour in putting on that jersey every game? And I think that's something really special we have about our men's team.
Absolutely. And I think, like, just to hammer that point home, you know, there's photos, you know, reflecting on the flood, I'm looking at some 2011 photos, we're doing comparisons, and, you know, like Ben Wilson's dad, you know, he's there literally shoveling, you know, shoveling the center court or the backflow. So, you know, there's guys who have, like, real skin in the game who have just grinded the whole way through. And it just, yeah, some of them might have gone to other clubs for a year or two to get a bit of experience and get their foot in the door and have promised whatever. But
and we forgive them for that.
And we forgive them. But they come back and, like, they know where home is. So it's, you know, we take so much pride in all the players that are our juniors, but also, you know, guys like Ant, you know, he wasn't our junior, he came up the border, but I think 170 something games, like, you know, like is the man of steel. So it's great to have all these guys around.
Definitely deserves a framed, you know, singlet or plaque, or maybe even a
Brisbane River.
Maybe a statue out the front for his 200 games.
Statue, 200. You know? I don't think anyone's cracked the 200, and I'd be impressed if anyone's cracked the 200 at one club in the QBL or NBL One. So if he gets there,
all right. Well, you heard it special. Here first. Statue out the front for Ant after 200 games.
I think it's someone like Deborah up at Cairns. He must be close.
Yeah, I'd say there'd be a couple that are close, but. It's a pretty impressive milestone.
And we did look at...
Ant's our guy. We know that. So.
We did look, just to go back to him, but we did look at Zach Carter. Mm-hmm. So he had a bit of time in Siebel. So if you took those... Like, if you just looked at senior games and you did bring in Siebel, he'd probably be one that would be also right up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played for Caps as long as I can remember.
Mm, yeah.
Absolute baller. We were speaking last week about things in the Brisbane River. I just wanted to check with you guys.
We haven't seen your plaque, mate.
I was gonna see if I could find it so we could put it up on the wall in the classic factory here.
How many back-to-back-to-back champions do you have? This plaque should be protected.
Go on. Should almost deserve maybe have a banner minute, up on have court your moment. Four.
Go on.
Well, look, I know at each end of court one you've got the, you know, QBL banners and whatnot. Maybe you're just on, like, the eastern stand. We could have our own one, but
I think court three, maybe court three.
Yeah,
sold.
Oh, that was easier than we thought.
I would have taken a gift certificate. All right,
for a dollar.
All right. Well, guys, thanks heaps for chatting about the teams in the NBL 1 North. Of course, Mal and I will be there for our first game in round 5 at home. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to jumping on the call for that one. It's going to be we're just pumped. It's been a long time, but we're definitely excited to be back calling the games. Teams are shaping up well. They're teams you want to root for, teams you want to call. So that's going to be good fun. But we do want to finish this off with some quick-fire questions that you may or may not be prepared for. So
let's go.
We'll see how you go with this. We'll go Hamish first here.
Yep.
Your top 5 players of all time.
Oh.
I've just hijacked Mal's question again. I do this every time we have guests in the studio.
And I can do any player, anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
All right.
Men, women, whatever league.
Kiwi great, Piero Cameron. He's got to be on the Rushmore. Like, I don't think you Aussies understand. Like, absolute Kiwi legend.
I get it.
I got to go the GM, Sean Marks, Brooklyn Nets. We got to do it. We got to get a GM
hell, in there to play. That was a hell of a roster this year.
Yeah, we won't go there. Then obviously, like, MJ's in there. So, you know, like, I grew up in America for 3 years around the time of that run. So that's really what got me into the game.
Never stood a chance, mate. Never stood a chance.
And then, Jimmy Butler, he's sort of, my last couple of Bulls guys. So Jimmy Butler, the dude is just an athlete and he's a competitor. And you look at all those sorry teams who have, said he's not the right guy. He's not a winner. We don't want to pay him. And now you look what he's doing. So he's in there. And Timberwolves and my Bulls. So yeah. And then youngest MVP of all time, like D Rose.
Oh,
yeah.
My guy.
So I'm going to stack it with Bulls guys, but and a couple Kiwis.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, there was a bit of Bull in there. Don't worry.
I was expecting some Aquamane, Mr. Stephen Adams.
Yeah,
no love. For
he's got to get that body of work together, you know. Like
he's got a body.
He's a big unit. Yeah.
All right, Lockie, your turn.
Ooh. Okay. Interesting. I might theme this one. I might go with the Caps theme.
All right.
Let's give a Caps starting five. If I'm thinking about the men's team, it's gonna be a controversial selection.
Before you, I did play juniors for Caps, so
this changes everything.
Also got a three-peat in the senior comp, right? Back to back.
Yep. Social pub league. Yeah. My resume is pretty decorated.
All of a sudden, he's going to go from nowhere to top 6.
There's a spot as a 6th man somewhere. Yeah. So maybe, who knows? If I'm thinking about Caps, I'm going to controversial selection, and I'm going to go with Aaron Anderson at the 1.
Not controversial at all.
Well, I mean, look, the other person that's in that conversation is obviously Kiddy, who is arguably the 2019-2022 State League GOAT. But no, I'm going to go with the Caps guy, Aaron Anderson. Mm-hmm. At my 2, it's obvious, guys. It's not even a question. It's Stoddy.
Mm-hmm.
The 3, it's an arm wrestle between Willow, so Ben Wilson and Jared Bairstow. Mm-hmm. But I'll stick with Willow, my guy, the captain of the team. Mm-hmm. 4 will go a Caps goat. We'll go Dusty Reichhardt. Averaged a double-double over his entire career with the Capitals, so a pretty impressive feat.
So Tim Sung at the 5. This is interesting.
The last one. I know. I cut out Jace, but I'm going to have to give it to Magne for the 5. So
that's tough.
6-man spots open, though, Dan. So
shotgun. That's where we'll put Kade. All right. Well, since we're stealing people's questions here, we'll change it up. Hamish, starting with you, favorite jersey and why?
Probably Shaq Magic, first jersey I ever owned, classic blue, the pinstripe. You just can't beat it. Yeah, and it's Shaq. Easy, no brainer.
People forget how much of a big deal he was when he came into the league.
Yeah, to see him when he came in, like how athletic he was, like just insane. Yeah,
these idiots, Draymond and Gobert, saying they would shut him down. It's like, shut up.
Yeah. It's not even a conversation.
You idiots.
But I have been trying to get my hands on Edwards Timberwolves, the City Edition or whatever the throwback is. Yeah, and that's just like impossible to get. So if anyone's got a plug for one of those, let me know.
If you want a fake one that looks real, I'll hook you up.
Done.
Lockie, over to you, mate.
For mine, I mean, I got to go with my guy, Dame Dollar, Dame Lillard. I think the letter O, as he likes to be called. There was one that I do have. It's I think it's from Christmas in 2019. So I go with the Portland Trailblazers, the letter O jersey with Dame Lillard. Yeah.
Mm. All right. This is usually Mel's favorite one. We'll go back to normal. I know Mel likes this question.
All right, Hamish. Favorite movie, mate?
Yeah, oldie but a goodie. I'll probably go on this one. Oh, no, actually, I was going to say Fight Club, but I'm going to go Black Panther. Ooh. So I've got to get around the Marvel. Black
good Panther. Swerve.
Great album as well. Some of Kendrick's final work. So, you know, it's got the movie, got the soundtrack. What more do you need?
Mm. And that final scene where they're looking over the sunrise. Oh.
Kendrick Lamar's a rapper, just so you know, Mel.
Yes, mate. I was across that. Well done. All right, so in the Hamish movie, who you get to play you?
In a movie?
In a movie.
Who do I get to play me?
Yeah, so think about it. You need, you know, that GM-style body. You know.
What's my GM body like? Slightly overweight.
It can't be Steve Adams.
Dead body. Oh, man, how good would that be?
Sam Presti.
Be classic.
Danny Ainge.
I don't know. I'd probably go... I wish I had his comedic genius. So I'd probably go Will Ferrell. Like, just it would just be hectic.
Steer straight into it.
He's just the GM of a team. Just
I've seen that before, and it worked out pretty well.
Tropics or something.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's actually what I model what we're doing. With that. So if you do,
no one's thought next, about you.
Yeah, well, so that's what we're doing this Saturday week.
Is that where our washing machine went?
Lockie will fight a bear.
All right, Lockie, over to you. Favorite movie, mate?
Favorite movie. I'm a big fan of the Batman trilogy, but I might have to go with. I actually watched all three quite recently, but I might go with The Godfather.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. All right. Well, who would you give an offer that they couldn't refuse to play you? Ooh. The Lockie movie.
Yeah, okay.
Pacino?
young Michael Corleone. Nah, if I was thinking about... I did listen to Lockie Dents, the Ron Weasley line. Brutal. So I'll try to avoid that one. But I'm thinking if I was to get someone to play... One of my favorite actors is a guy called Miles Teller. Mm-hmm. He's in a few movies. But otherwise, if I couldn't get him... The paperwork didn't work out. I might get this guy's a rapper, so you know, Mel. Jack Harlow. I might get him to play me.
We'll that see. New album, my goodness.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Pretty sure that wasn't the name of it.
He has arrived. Oh, Mel, I'll leave you alone on that one. Hamish, best kicks of all time?
Well, I've got probably Jordan 3s or 4s. Probably go Black Cements. Yeah, anything Jordan is probably the go-to. Early Jordan's better. Unfortunately, I used to work at Foot Locker, so I'd spend my paycheck there. So it got pretty bad, 100-plus pairs, you know. Couldn't move out of home. But, Jordans. Definitely Jordans. Early Jordans is what you'll see me rocking.
Perfect. And Lockie?
I only exclusively wear Adidas shoes, so, and I've only ever played in Dame Lillard shoes, so the Dames.
Mate, you have some Curries, don't you? I thought you.
I definitely do not have Curries. I'm not an Under Armour guy at all. No, definitely not. No, my favorite Dames. He did a collab with Shaq with those retro Reeboks. So it's got the white and black pattern on it. So I definitely say those are my favorite. Yeah.
Nice. Are we talking about playing or just like best shoe?
Any. Anything, yeah.
Yeah. Because I did play in a pair of threes once and it was terrible.
I think anything horrible. Up until 11s I would never play in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look pretty, but no.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Jordan started a game in those ones and took them off very quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Hamish, let's go back to you. You can sit courtside for any game ever. It could be NBA, any league, anywhere, men's, women's, local, personal game you played in, what game would you go back in time and watch if you could only choose one?
Yeah, it's a tough question, isn't it?
As a 90s Bulls fan, I would hope not.
Yeah, but it's like every single game of
surely
all time.
Surely there's a New Zealand game or something you're thinking of, yeah?
Well, yeah, there was the world champs, Piero Cameron in there, got the bronze. But yeah,
it's rose gold, baby.
It is rose gold. It is rose. And like, look, we'll probably never be on that stage again at that level. Like, you know.
We can agree with that, yeah.
But yeah, I think probably best moment, I'll go with the best sporting moment of all time. So I was lucky enough to go to a World Cup short course event as an athlete, and got to witness Hackett set a world record 800 meter freestyle, and there'd be 1,000 people in this venue down in Melbourne, and the place was just literally, I've never been in a building, everybody's up on their feet, everybody like, the hairs on your arms are standing up. It was just absolutely insane. And that, like, that is pure history. And it's, you know, arguably one of the greatest swimmers of all time. So, you know, nice. If I could go back to that moment, yeah, that would probably be the one I'd go back to. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, definitely a first on the show. We've never had anyone.
This is a basketball podcast.
Yeah. I want to go back and watch someone swim laps. But
it is. It was impressive. I have
hell of a moment.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was back in the day when I used to sit down and watch those sorts of things. Yeah. And yeah, Grant Hackett could swim.
Yeah,
could swim.
He could.
Lucky.
I've got mine on lock.
All right, fire it away.
I watched this game with Hamish while we were at Southern Districts in 2019, and I always threatened Hamish that if the Blazers got into the finals, I would be submitting my leave and going immediately. So I would pay whatever the fight was, whatever the tickets were to be there. But there was a certain moment in 2019. It was a game 5 between the Blazers and OKC. Dame Lillard was dribbling down the court on 47 points. The minutes were going down. It was I believe it was a tie game. And he pulled back on Paul George, pulled the shot from halfway, sunk it, and called game, waved them goodbye. 50 points and sent them home. So 100% I would be at that game. I would have been one of those guys that tackled him and crushed him in the doggy pile. I would have been definitely one of those guys.
And then just got thoroughly whooped by security in moments.
It would have been worth it.
And just that cold stare into the camera afterwards became a meme. It was just it was Photoshop.
I remember cool in the stadium when we were watching that, I was just yelling and screaming. Like the entire 2 minutes leading up to that moment was insane. Mm. So yeah, definitely that moment.
All right, guys. Well, I know you're big fans of the show, so we generally have a surprise question to finish off here, but you guys probably know what's coming. Hamish, you know, we've got some expectations from you, but now that Lockie, bit of a big dog in the Basketball Queensland realm, got some connects there. Guys, who do you think Mel and I should have on the show next?
We're going to need an answer from both of you because, you know, we want more people on the show.
I've got one that I'm not sure if you've had him yet, but I feel like this is one that's achievable and someone I could connect you with.
Stoddy.
Not Nick Stoddard. Could definitely organize that. Mm-hmm. I'd say CJ Bruton could be one you could chat to. I know he's got a lot of stories and obviously an NBL legend, but there is one other, and I'm sure there might be a photo of her down here, but there is someone averaging Wilt Chamberlain numbers right now in the NBL 1 East, playing for Aubrey Wodonga.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, which Dan learnt about a few weeks ago on the show.
Sorry, my
don't phone, you dare tease me with this, Lachlan.
I'm definitely not going to make any promises, but that is someone who would be very suited to the show, I think.
All right. So what I'm hearing is Lockie's got hookups with 3 separate superstars. Stoddy, CJ, and LJ.
Stoddy's number one. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You're a fan.
Wow.
All right, Hamish, top that.
Hamish, good luck.
Yeah.
Sean Marks.
Tough. Look, New Zealand's a small place, so I could probably, mate of a mate, get you a number. But no,
you got Stephen Adams' number?
Oh, he's like a cousin. He's like a second cousin.
Surely he could get one of his siblings. He's got 42 of them.
Villary Adams, greatest shot putter of all time. I'll go back with the GM. I reckon it would be cool to get probably Sammy Mack on here, sort of, you know, with their new season, the new direction, the new ownership. Would be cool to get some insight from him around, I guess, you know, what goes into them putting their roster together. And then maybe some of the targets that he's got lined up. I think that's what your Brisbane-based fans want to hear. You know, we're all pumped up for them in the new season. We want to get behind them. So, you know, let's get excited about that.
And of course, those couple glory years with the Caps as well.
That is true. Sure. You know, brought us our second title in our history. So, you know, managed to bring in, you know, Jason and Will, so, you know, expert recruiter. But yeah, I mean, the playing pedigree is there as well, you know, he's passed it on to Max. So, you know, I think he'd hit it at all levels.
Perfect. All right, guys, well, you know, we'll move on from the formalities of an interview style segment there. If you still got a few minutes spare, we're just going to wrap up round 3 of the NBL One North. We all good for that?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. So, look, generally when Mel and I do this, we just do a quick whip around. Of course, there's just so many games on. We can't go into deep analysis for every single one, but we'll point out some players who've had a nice little weekend.
Though. Unless the Caps have a game, though. We'll deep dive a little bit on the Caps.
Fortunately, that won't take too long this week.
No, unfortunately, a washout there against the Spartans. But, you know, everyone walked away safe, so...
I was thinking that was going to be Lachlan Dent's coming out party, and I was really excited for that game. So, yeah, a bit disappointing.
All right, so maybe he can sit out this road trip, and his coming out party can be the first home game in a fortnight. no, we absolutely need him up there.
Yeah.
All right, up in Townsville, Mel.
Yes, up in Townsville, Courtney Woods, another 22-point win versus the Pirates.
And, yeah, Courtney Woods, another 20-point game here. Her and Steph Reid, just absolute dynamos. I don't know, guys, if you're looking at game plan against them, what would you do?
Pray.
Hope they miss a lot of shots.
Yeah, like they're both on. Steph's, you know, she's fast, she's tricky. Woods is a missing at the moment. So, how do you game plan for that?
Yeah, and we saw Courtney in that GBL final end of last year, Mel, and she's just something else. Like, she can just get wherever she wants on the court, whatever shot she wants, and takes over games. Very impressive to watch.
And if she's given a split second to get up the shot she wants,
bang,
it's all over.
Mm. All right. We finally had a big Kayla game. I say finally, it's only 3 games in, but
she made up for it.
Yeah, 21, 16, and 8. And this is what we came to expect from Kayla, you know, playing for Mackay last year and just before she head off for Opal's duty. But again, now with Cairns, I mean, Hamish, this Cairns women's team, they look tough as nails this year.
Yeah, Amy Lewis, you know, like...
Brisbane
legend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also what she did at Epi. So, like, I think her going up there, there's a bit of luck from them, her relocating up there. So... you know, you put her and George together, and that's going to be a problem for everybody. I think probably a lot of teams are happy that the Kayla will be out with the Opals. So I think there'll be a few happy teams when that all kicks off.
All right. Well, Mal, we've seen so far some hot form with the Rip girls here as well. Mm-hmm. Rochie's just come out all guns firing. Another 30-point game here. Shout out friend of the show, Carly Smith, 18 rebounds.
Did not mishear that, 18 rebounds.
Giving her best Anna Cameron impression there, just the undersized forward just doing dirty work inside. But it came in a loss against the Gold Coast. So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of expected Rip to take this one, but couldn't hold on in the end. They did control most of the game, but couldn't finish it off there. But now, Shanice Swain, last week. Had a double-double that was a bit different than usual. How'd you go this week?
This week, 32-10 in a win over Rocky. Almost 20-point win. But
was it 10 steals again?
No, 10 rebounds this week. 10 rebounds.
Got to get those hands active, hey?
10 steals was ridiculous. 10 rebounds is still not bad, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
I mean, fellas on the couch over there, we've seen some pesky little guards here at the Caps and, you know, 4, 5, 6 steals in a game. But 10? Like, have you seen 10 steals in a game before from one player? That's just...
I don't think I have.
And wild.
To give my exclusive drop might not be as big as Hamish's, but she could definitely be a contender for player of the round for the NBL 1 North this week.
Ooh.
You never know. But no, she had a hell of a game. It's going to be a tough game for Caps to go up against them this weekend.
Well, it'll be interesting to see these players of the round. They were different. They differed to our ones last week, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah, don't want to use the word wrong, just different, just different. But when you've got such a big league and so many people having great games, you know, there's too many to choose from at the moment.
All right, that little duo at Northside, Mal.
Oh,
what did they do to the Phoenix?
Combined, 53 points and 10 steals and a cheeky win as well.
Mm.
Just to top it off. Yeah, if these two can stay healthy for the rest of the year, it's going to be dangerous for the league.
Probably.
Dangerous.
As I mentioned to you, lucky enough to meet Tiana at my high school last weekend. Absolutely lovely young lady. And don't get it twisted, though. Killer on the court. She is an absolute baller. Let's jump over to the men there, Mal. So, the Pirates. This kind of shocked me.
Wow. Huge. Yeah.
Oh, sounds like Lockie wants to jump in. So, Lockie, take it away. Their north trip.
I mean, for any team to go up north and get two wins, whether it's a road trip to Townsville and Cairns or whether it's Mackay or Rocky, that is a hell of an effort. Mm. And those guys going into that game, I don't think, well, I mean, anytime you go up north is a tough game, going against those rosters who potentially might have a bit bigger of a budget. But yeah, no, for them to go in there, win in overtime and get those wins is huge for their season.
Mm.
Definitely.
And Hamish, maybe you can speak about these teams. They played each other on the weekend, Rocky and Mackay, who our Caps are facing this weekend. Blanchfield and Moss just laying waste to teams up there at the moment.
Yeah,
especially Blanchfield, he is a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem, isn't it?
He's giving me trigger vibes, if you remember him in the QBL.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you know, like that top end talent it's hard to compete with. Like our boys, you know, week one, Wizards have recruited well. We managed it there. So it's, you know, I think it's the power of the team's gonna have to come together and then, you know, Stoddy or Dent, one of those guys, take fire, but
or
yeah,
both.
Yeah, or both. But like, I think going back to Pirates and Rocky, like, it's just great to see these teams competitive again. So seeing Rocky back with a full-strength side, that's awesome for our league. And same seeing Pirates. You know, Pirates, you know, look out. Like, if you don't come prepared, they're going to beat you. So they're here to play. So I think the league's better when the floor's a lot higher, and I think everyone's made a massive jump this year.
Yep. And next up, the Salties had a big fourth quarter here. Shout out friend of the show, Jerron Jameson, who's featured as we speak on the In the North podcast from Basketball Queensland there. He had 22 points up against Logan and Mr. Kendall.
Friends of the show everywhere, mate. Friends of the show everywhere.
Absolute friend of the show, Jeremy Kendall. 34 points. This guy's still got it. Still can't believe he's not in the NBL, but... I mean, I don't know about you guys over there, but every time I watch Jeremy Kendall play, like, you can just tell he's different. Like, he's just that step above, and he's amazing to watch.
He's a true professional. I saw him at the NBL 1 Blitz. I saw him there at least 2 or 3 hours before his game, stretching, warming up, getting shots up. Like, he's on a different level. And I know that Logan going into that game against Darwin, they left Brisbane that morning, but around 6 a.m., got there, played that night. Obviously, there's humidity and stuff like that, so I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but it is a tough environment. I think a few teams are going to work that out with the Darwin road trip going up there.
It's a bit like the Denver altitude, but Aussie version.
Death humidity. Ocker version.
All right. And finally, great friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, had a weird story around this one, but Isaac White down there for Ipswich finally had that explosion game. Like, he's been solid, but had his 34 points, 50% from the field against Red City. Hamish, we saw this last year, unfortunately, at Auchenflower, but Isaac White is a problem for every team in the league, I believe.
Yeah, he's going to be one to watch. I mean, he's the challenge, I think, for him is that everybody's going to be looking for him. Everybody, like, if you can shut him down, you know, you're going to be put yourself in a great spot to get the win. But then also, you know, that leaves Ralph. So, you know, if Ralph gets hot and he gets a few threes, you know, I think he's going to reap the benefits of playing alongside White. So, you know, and it was great to see them get a win, so get their first win of the season. So, you know, Ippy, once they sort of hit their stride, yeah, they're going to, again, be one to look out. I don't think you can really take any team for granted in this comp this year.
And they had a brutal fixture. They had a brutal fixture. The first three rounds, six games.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to go through. So to get those wins, that's huge.
Yeah, so good on them. Look, game of the week this week, Lockie, what are we looking at?
Game of the week this week has not been announced.
Oh.
So not sure if I can give it an exclusive yet.
That's okay. What are some matchups you're looking forward to this weekend? Give us a couple games you're looking forward to.
This weekend, obviously, yeah, the road trip for the Caps guys is going to be interesting. If I'm picking an early pick as a contender to be the champions of the NBL 1 North with the roster they have, Rocky is that team for me. So any team going up to Rocky and coming up against them is going to be a tough one. And I think if we're looking at the Caps boys, if they can go out there and split it, if they can win one in Mackay and have a hard-fought game in Rocky, I think that's a win for them.
Cool. Hamish, anyone apart from the Caps that you might keep an eye on this weekend?
Yeah, look, to be honest, first and foremost, they're the first games I look at, but I'm sort of keen to see if Southwest can keep on rolling. So, you know, they're gonna see a tough Gold Coast side who, you know, didn't get to play last week. They're well rested. You know, I'm sure Jace is ready to go. He's, you know, massive competitor. So, yeah, I just want to see really how Southwest can sort of build on the start that they've had and see if they can roll that into more wins down the track. So that's going to be, I think, just one to watch, just to see how Pirates are going to travel throughout this season.
There is potentially one other game I'm going to keep my eye on, and it's the Saturday matchup, and it's between Cairns and Darwin. Now I think that's shaping up to be quite a big game. I think Darwin might have added a big signing, and when I say big, I'm talking about a big guy. I think he might have been announced, so I think I can say it with. So Nate Jarway might be suiting up this weekend for Darwin against his previous team, Cairns, which should be an interesting game.
Definitely should. Definitely should. Heard it here first, Dish. Don't worry. We get a few of those. Don't worry. Right. For me, I'm looking over in the women's and I'm looking for the Logan Thunder Rip City game.
Oof.
I think that could be Saturday night, 6 p.m. I think that could be quite a good game. Really looking forward to basically seeing if Roshi can just continue this form. Take it to the Thunder.
Yeah, look, it's doesn't happen often, but it's going to be hard to disagree with Mal on this one. So I would also be keeping a good eye on that one. But, of course, very close eye on our Brisbane Capitals doubleheader road trip in central Queensland there. Can check out all those games on the NBL app, of course.
Ball don't lie.
All right, folks. Well, that's a wrap on the NBL 1 North Round 3. We'll be back next week to wrap up Round 4, which is going to be, I don't know, action-packed by the sounds of it. Everyone's got different games to look out for and road trips and doubleheaders and, geez, it all just happens so fast in the league. So that's where we're heading with that. Just before we head off, though, again, we'd love to thank Lockie and Hamish for joining the show tonight. It's been great having you live in the studio. One of our last OG studio recordings. So
yeah, the writing's on the wall for Studio One, but that's okay. We'll be moving into Studio Two real soon.
So thanks again, guys. Hope you had a good time with us here. And even if you didn't, just tell everyone you did so that we get people on the show.
No, we've enjoyed it, guys. Appreciate it a lot. It's been great.
Cheers, fellas.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, everyone, for listening in. If you haven't already, of course, jump all over the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from. Hit all those buttons for us. Like, follow, subscribe. Really appreciate it. What's that other button you like, Mal?
The super subscribe button. On Spotify. If you really love what we do, jump on our Spotify link or anything on the socials, and it'll follow to the Anchor link. Hit the subscribe on there. 99 cents. Lots of extra great content. Helps us pay for all the wild and wonderful equipment we've got here. You know, all these sound effects don't pay for themselves. So, you know,
we can tell. All right, guys, we'll be back next week, next Thursday. We hope you can all join us then. So just remember, until the next pod drops, that ball don't lie.
Never does.